Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Another conversation about what's going on the farm, the connection of the farm to your family and the food that you eat. It's all part of the American Family Farmer here in part to bring you up to date on some of the news from the world of agriculture, to give you ideas about how to make your farm more successful, and to give you an opportunity to think through some of the issues with perhaps comments of your own. You can always reach out to me, Doug@DougStefan.com. Great way to do it. The connection of our farmers and our farms to grocery stores. You know, there's the whole movement, as you are aware, I'm sure, of bringing food to restaurants, right? The open table, local issues and local emphasis on the smart restaurants using stuff, the tomatoes and lettuce, whatever there can be vegetable-wise or meat-wise, do it from local sources. Well, that's good if you have a local restaurant. What about the local grocery store, though? Is there an independent grocery store in your town? There are a lot of independent grocery stores that are looking to the federal government and the antitrust laws to battle with the big retailers. The National Grocers Association, which is a trade association that represents a lot of independent grocery stores, has released details focusing on the way the dominant retailers like Amazon and like Walmart and to a point Target, I guess, and then you can look at the big grocery store chains themselves, Albertsons, Publix, the Stop and Shop, the big, and I guess we would put Whole Foods into that now because they have about 500 stores. So this group is looking for the government to enforce anti-monopoly laws, including the Robinson-Patman Act, which deems that economic discrimination ought to be one of the criteria. This goes back to the mid-30s when a lot of smaller retailers were being, this was the beginning of the chain food department, and but didn't really get big until after World War II. In the 50s, it really started to be a problem. And so it used to be that 75% of all the groceries and things that we get locally came from local grocery stores. Now it's just the opposite. There are only 25, all the grocery stores in America, only 25% of them are owned by local entities. The independent, the IGA, you've seen those signs, the Independent Grocers Association. So then what should be the relationship for the grocery store, the big chains? Whole Foods makes a big thing out of identifying, and so does Trader Joe's, actually, identifying where local produce comes from. Is this done at the expense of the local grocery store, trying to put the local grocery store? We all know what Walmart's about, putting all the local mom-and-pop businesses out of business so they can come in and control the source and the supply. That's been the way they've been a very successful model for them. But how many mom-and-pop stores do you know of that exist, actually, in most of the communities where there's a Walmart? Not many of them. And you can say, well, that's capitalism. That's the American way. You've got to be competitive or you go out of business. Okay. And by the way, just as an example, Walmart as the example, that's a store that started. It was a small grocery store, a store in Bentonville, Arkansas, where Sam Walton grew up. And then it grew and he broadened it. First was a grocery store, and then he broadened what they had in the store. It became sort of a hardware store. And then it became sort of a clothing store. And then it became what it is today. Although I'm not sure that Sam Walton envisioned it to be the powerhouse and kind of the muscle that it is in the world. I have no use for Walmart, and I don't mind saying it on the air. It's cost me money in advertising revenue, but I just think that they're predators. I think Amazon is the biggest of all the predators. So again, the question comes back to what should you do on your farm to have a relationship to a local grocery store? Is it the right market for your farm? Think about wholesale produce to grocery stores. They're selling it at retail, but they'll say it comes from Hanson's Farm or whatever the farm is. And is it just produce items, or is it for things that are, you know, not necessarily the produce that you may have? I was looking at the selection of produce buyers and their interest in increasing the availability of processed items like bedding plants and hanging plants and honey and maple syrup and that sort of thing. There are a lot of aggregators now, jobbers, if you will, middlemen, when produce is combined from several sources to bring to a store, then, you know, is that watering down the value of you and your market? I say sell everything you can on your farm. Everything you produce, sell as much of it as you can on your farm at a price that is as much as you can get. People understand. I mean, you got to stay in business. Most people who come to the farm understand that they're going to spend more money there because it's going to be fresher, it's better. But if, in fact, you're selling, let's say you're selling tomatoes for, I don't even know, what does a tomato cost? I just go pick them. I don't pay for them. So I don't know, and I don't mean that to sound arrogant. I just don't. I know, let me use milk and dairy because that's my area. So if you are paying, let's say, $5 for a gallon of milk in the grocery store, how much of that does the farmer get? $1.19. If you're selling your milk to the grocery store for them to sell it $5 and you're only getting $2 out of it, but yet at your store, you have a farm store and you're selling your milk for $6 a gallon. Are you hurting yourself? I mean, just think it through for a second. Are you hurting yourself by presenting to the farm a gallon of milk for, let's say, $2.50, maybe $3, and they turn around and sell it for $5? Or do people see the brand and they know they can buy they can come to your farm and buy it, but they pay $1 more than they pay for it in the grocery store? You understand what I'm saying? There's something wrong in that whole scenario. I think you keep your products away from the grocery store, sell as much as you can on your farm, and then maybe it becomes private label. You don't let it get sold under your brand name in the grocery store for less money than you're charging for it at your farm. That would be my advice. And so you can take it to the bank or take it wherever you want. But I think that's in terms of the news this week, as we find more and more, especially up here in the northern climes, the northeast, as we find ourselves opening up our markets. Strawberry season is upon us, and people are going to the farms and picking the strawberries. It's a fabulous season for that, at least where I am. And I think that, you know, you get, what is it, $7 a quart or whatever they're getting for good strawberries. I think that, you know, you can buy them from Driscoll's all day long for $4 a quart or a pound or whatever they charge you for them. But what you're getting is stuff that has no value whatsoever in terms of its intrinsic health value. This is the stuff's, you know, there's not much to it. So buy local, sell local. That's what I say. Coming up in a moment, we're going to meet Brittany Overshiner, who comes from a farm that's very near to where I am here in Massachusetts. Right now, a reminder about how you, as an adult, can, now that you've worked hard to get into the season, you've lost some weight, how do you keep it off? Keep it off by using Calitrin. You understand what you're growing is all natural, so why not use something all natural to keep the weight off of your body? That's where Calitrin comes in. It is the only weight loss formula in existence, not only in our country, but around the world, that doesn't have any stimulants, doesn't have any drugs. Its main ingredients, aloe vera, which helps you sleep really well at night, digestive enzymes that are good for your gut. All health begins and ends in your gut. You know that, the GAPS theory of how you stay in health. And then collagen protein, which helps your body repair and rebuild that lean muscle. As you've lost the weight, you got to tighten it up. So those are the three main ingredients, and that's why this works so well. Check out all the product information, the ingredients, the description, the instructions as to how to use it at toploss.com. Buy the product there. Use the discount code DJV, and you get 3 months supply free when you purchase another 3 months. That's at toploss.com for Calitrin to lose weight the natural way and keep it off. Use that discount code DJV on checkout. You've heard me talk a lot about how the MyPillow has changed the way I sleep. You'll have the same experience because the MyPillow never goes flat, gives you the best night's sleep. It is no longer going to be a problem that you wake up in the middle of the night, you got a sore neck, a headache, a backache. You won't need a nap because you'll be sleeping well through the night. Now, you can refresh the pillows of every room because the premium MyPillow is at the lowest price ever. For now, and just a limited amount of time, you can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98. King pillows are $5 more. To get this deal, use the promo code DJV. Every MyPillow is backed with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener special square there, enter the promo code DJV, and while you're there, why not take advantage of the deep discounts on all the MyPillow products using the DJV code. The Giza sheets, that sort of thing, the My Slippers, get them all at MyPillow.com using the promo code DJV.
So, how can I promote my new curbside pickup service?
It's possible with Staples Connect.
I need custom floor decals that'll get noticed, not just walked on.
Also possible, Staples Connect can help your business grow with custom printed sales and marketing materials. Now, get $10 off signs, banners, or posters when you spend $50 or more. Explore what's new at your local Staples. Staples Connect, the working and learning store. N73, valid in-store and online. Visit staples.com/signage for details.
Asthma symptoms can attack anywhere, like on a city street. Now you can get fast relief anywhere with new improved Primatene Mist, the only FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. So whether you need relief of symptoms at the park or at your kitchen table, Primatene Mist starts working quickly, opening up your airways to restore free breathing. For temporary relief of mild symptoms of intermittent asthma, use Primatene Mist and breathe easy again. Available at CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. Use as directed.
The American Family Farmer continuing now with an introduction to Brittany Overshiner, who runs Upswing Farm, which is, when I say local, it is really local to me because she's around the corner and up the street. So how did you get started, Brittany? Tell us your story, because I don't know you. I know a little about the farm, but I need to know, I think, the audience, as we present things on this program to help people with ideas. What was your idea? How did you decide to do this?
Yeah, great question. So I am now 36, and when I went to Northeastern in Boston, and I was studying environmental science, and I took two semester courses back-to-back, nutrition, public health, and the American science, and then eating in the environment. And it was just my aha moment of, I care about nutrition, I care about environmental well-being. Of course, these things are linked by agriculture and the way we produce food. And I was studying more to about political advocacy, and I just felt overwhelmed by that big picture work that needs to be done to really change our food system. So I started apprenticing in 2007, and I loved the work, and I didn't look back. So I apprenticed for 3 years, and then I got a job managing a community farm for 5 years. And when I grew out of that, I had stepped away not knowing exactly how I would start my farm, and was actually offered a lease by someone up the road in Ashland, who was a retired farmer.
I know the guy, and I know the farm. He's a wonderful man. Like, he's 96 now, and he's,
yes, I know, it's amazing.
he's a real character. Yeah, and I think now that I'm thinking about it, I think you and I may have come across each other because of him with the land. He wanted me to mow around the fields that we were using, that sort of thing. I think at one point in time I did meet you, and that's kind of the nice feel here, being able to talk about stuff. First-hand knowledge is always kind of cool. Brittany Overshiner here from Upswing Farm as we continue in a matter of moments on the American Family Farmer.
V you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome to the farm.
Brittany started farming. When people say, oh, it was an accident. And it kind of sounds a little bit like you're, I don't know if an accident is probably the right phraseology for it, Brittany, but you certainly didn't aim to do what you are doing. But it's sort of like, I find this, I don't know, again, you probably know where my farm is, and you know that I'm a dairy guy, a cow guy, but it gets into your blood. You may not, I mean, I've been around cows all my life, so I don't know what life is like without having cows in my life. You know what it's like not to be on a farm, and yet you've chosen in a sea where there are probably, with your educational background, all kinds of opportunities for you. So what did your family say, and your friends and people that you're close to, when you said, okay, this is what I'm doing?
Well, I'm actually really lucky to have, like, a very supportive family that wants me to have, like, a full and, satisfying life. And they kind of got over the fact that I wasn't going to make a ton of money and, like, you know, succeed in those maybe more culturally traditional ways. And I'm also fairly stubborn and strong-headed, so I'm sure nobody really wanted to come up against me.
Cute. Well, listen, I think the best farmers are the ones who want to stick with it, frankly. The most stubborn of us have stayed in it long after the people who didn't see the value in it or didn't see the lifestyle, they would go off and do something else. And that's one of the problems, I think, actually, in agriculture and farming these days. We don't have a lot of people to see the big picture. And again, I go back to you and your circle of friends, the people that you work with. Have you had to try to find people to work with you, or have you found it pretty easy to find quality help?
I find it very easy to find quality help. I have an amazing crew. I mean, we posted jobs this year, and I had 32 different interviews after, like, pre-screening. So I think that there is really a pool of young people that are interested in learning to farm and working on farms. There's just a lot of barriers. Like, one of the major barriers being, especially in Massachusetts, there's no such thing as affordable housing. The cost of living is really high, and if you're going to work on a farm, you're probably going to get paid minimum wage. And so how are you supposed to support yourself and also learn to farm? And I think that more people would farm if we could figure out a way to remove some of those entry barriers.
All right, so how did you figure out how to get over those entry barriers?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one thing was I was fortunate enough to receive a full scholarship from Northeastern, so I didn't have student debt. So anybody who's carrying student debt is probably really going to struggle with, you know, paying that debt and also farming. I mean, there's really smart people who are doing it. And then the other thing was there was housing provided by the farm. A lot of the farms I worked at, so I was able to earn minimum wage or less in a lot of cases because I didn't have debt and I didn't really have that cost of living support.
Mm-hmm. So,
and I was okay with not accumulating wealth for that time period, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things about farming, as you know, is land is the asset that you carry from year to year to year. And as
right.
it increases in value, especially in the area where we are, I know that you had the land over in nearby towns, Ashland, Holliston, Franklin. So for people in New England, they kind of know where that is. Now you and your husband bought a farm. Right?
We actually lost that lease in Ashland, and so we really experienced the not being intergenerational farmers, not being handed land, and trying to access farmland. And we spent years and years trying to make this happen. And I will say that we had a partner, Dirt Capital Partners, which is like they lend specifically to farmers, and we would not have succeeded without them.
Right. So that's the thing. Finding money to do this, it's practical. In my neck of the woods and where you were, I mean, the farm that I own, I have 114 acres of land that has who knows how many buildable lots, but the land's going for $400,000 an acre. How do you farm that? And that's, you know, that's kind of the question a lot of people are facing, especially, as you said, in this neck of the woods. So we're teaching people how to get beyond all of that with Brittany Overshiner as we continue in the next half hour of The American Family Farmer.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbey and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
People don't always need to talk it out. This is Emotional Management. I'm Dr. Christian Conti. Before the turn of this century, it was widely believed that people need to talk out crisis events in their lives. Over the last 15 years, however, a slew of studies began to demonstrate that if therapists treat everyone the same and force people to talk out crises, they can actually do more damage than good. For some people, talking out crises is really helpful. For others, not thinking about tragic events is best. The general guideline is that if something is obviously still present for someone, then having them talk it out is likely to be helpful. But if something is not present for that person, then it's probably unnecessary to have that person rehash the tragedy. You don't have to be a clinician to take advantage of this information. In short, if people want to talk something out, be there for them. If they don't, then don't force it. For more on communication, visit drchristianconti.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Calls continue to grow for a more thorough investigation into the lab in Wuhan, China, as the origin of COVID-19, with the World Health Organization pushing China to participate in a transparent investigation. World leaders at the G7 summit also called for a new investigation over the weekend. Former President Donald Trump was an early proponent of the lab leak theory. He tells Fox News that he believes that incompetence may have led to the virus accidentally being released from the lab.
It changed my whole line of thinking, and I really hope and I believe it was an accident, it was incompetence. I guess some people don't necessarily agree with that. They think maybe there was purpose to it, which would be absolutely terrible. But we have to find out more about it. Why did it happen? How did it happen? How could anybody be so incompetent? And that is not a group of incompetent people.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
As life in America looks to return to normal, how can you succeed in the new stock market? With the tech dip, volatility with interest rates, and fear around the yield curve, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text money to 813-813 to find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text the word money to 813-813. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance and maximize your gains. Text money to 813-813. Experience Vantage Point for free. Learn how successful traders generate their wealth. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
One of the subjects that was expected to be discussed at Wednesday's summit between President Biden and Russian President Putin was a recent series of cyber attacks. But former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Russia, Evelyn Farkas, doesn't think that Russia's strategy will change immediately. She tells CNBC that the meeting likely won't get Russia to stop cyber attacks.
Well, it's not enough, certainly, to tell them to stop. We've had other presidents try that approach. First of all, there are Russian state-sponsored cyber attacks, so the things that they've done, hacking and weaponizing information and getting involved in our elections in 2016 and then 2020 using disinformation, those things the Russian state can stop very quickly. I don't expect them to do that unless, again, they lash out at us and then we provide a proportional reaction. Having said that, there are also the cyber criminals. It's interesting, you guys noted the Ukrainians clamped down on some cyber criminals, some ransomware folks in Ukraine. That is exactly what the Russian government should be doing, and they're not doing. And it's very telling that the Ukrainian government decided to stick it to Moscow by showing how it's supposed to be done to the international community.
And Arizona's governor says the state's universities cannot require students to get a COVID vaccination. Governor Doug Ducey issued an executive order prohibiting public universities and community colleges from making COVID vaccines a condition for students to return to class. The order coming as a response to an announcement from Arizona State University that made vaccination mandatory for students to return to campus. For USA Radio News, I'm Dan Naraki.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Brittany Side, it's Sidway Overshiner. That's an interesting name. And, of course, you've made yourself interesting by, as you said, being stubborn and sticking with it. The different towns that you've been in, how do you see dealing? Because there's a certain amount of politics. I know you're at the Ashland Farmers Market, and I know from my own experience of trying to, I had an ice cream service, and trying to get into that Ashland Farmers Market was very political. Have you found that to be the case?
I think that I just grow produce, and we've been always grown with organic methods, and now we're certified organic, and I think that I got into that market really early, you know, so I think if I were to try to get into that market at this point, you know, there's just so many established vendors. I haven't necessarily found that challenge, but it might be because, you know, that there isn't the, you need the cornerstone vegetable farmers to make a farmer's market.
Right. Exactly. Well, exactly right. Other things. So this farm that you bought, how you said you had a partnership. I'm not familiar with that bank
that you loaned the money from, that they loaned you the money.
It's not a bank. I would consider them a slow money group. So basically, mm-hmm. they have several investors who are willing to like take slightly slower returns, lower returns for their investments in order to support organic farmers who are farming sustainably or organically to secure farmland. It's mm-hmm. not a cheap mortgage. Like the mortgage rates are definitely above, you know, what market. People are paying. I mean, the housing right. market's insane right now. It's so cheap.
Right.
But we also have a loan from the FSA, the Farm Service mm-hmm. Agency. So we have a partial part of our mortgage, or two mortgages, basically, one from Dirt Capital Partners and one from the Farm Service Agency. And the Farm Service Agency rates are slightly below market rate, so it ends up averaging out as if mm-hmm. we just had a market rate mortgage. But, I mean, we approached, and there was no lender who was going to lend us the money for this, and yeah. it was also a very complicated transaction, and we needed the expertise that Dirt Capital Partners provided us in order to negotiate. You know, mm-hmm. we really need, there's so many skills that were needed to make this thing happen, and we found that in Dirt Capital.
Persistence pays off. And sometimes these things, as you know, dealing with the government especially, you're trying to borrow money from them or get involved in programs. Excuse me, I just got a whole raft of descriptions from farm services that you sign off every year, as I'm sure you do, as to the fields that you're using and what you're doing there and all of that stuff. And it's very time-consuming, frankly, to get into it. It would be wonderful in my Pollyanna world and yours perhaps as well if we didn't need the government at all, if we had the support and respect from the population in general. I guess I'm wondering what percentage of what you grow you sell on the farm versus going to farmers markets, or perhaps, I don't know if you heard me talking about grocery stores before you came on. I'm not a fan of selling to grocery stores, big chains.
Oh, yeah, me either. Yeah. I mean, we're small enough. You know, our total sales are still just under $500,000 a year, and we invest pretty heavily in our retail outlet. So I don't really have any incentive to try to build a wholesale market because my price per item is so much lower. If I'm selling wholesale, I'd rather try to move it retail, and if I have extra, I could donate it, and I'm still making the same amount of money.
Right.
So at this point, we really do very minimal wholesale.
Mm-hmm. So under the circumstances, how do you get the word out as to, do you have CSAs? Do you have a regular social media connection with your group? And are you like lots of other people who, in fact, now are seeing, because of the pandemic, a huge increase in the interest of what goes on local farms?
Well, we definitely saw that increase, and it was a challenging year for us because last year, because we'd lost that lease in Ashland, we were leasing 3 different acres in 3 different towns, and we had decided just to stick with it, essentially because for the Farm Services Agency loan, you need a 3-year business history. You know, it makes us look better if we just kind of, you know, keep building that financial history to put in the application, and we didn't want to lose the customer base. So we were so glad that we hadn't decided to just, you know, take a year off or give up, which was the other option when we lost that lease. It was a lot of work, a lot of driving. I'm now an hour instead of 20 minutes from my markets, and I spend at least half the time in a car or a truck because I live on the farm, and it's just 3 deliveries a week. And I don't do all of them. I have a big team, so some people do them. We really invest in relationships, you know, which is the kind of thing that's hard to do if you're on a really large scale and you're wholesaling. Like, I would say out of the 400 CSA members that we currently have, I could get 300 of those names right, you know, and I know something about them or something about their kids.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And so that's really where we invest, is building relationships. And then that grows. The word of mouth is my best marketing tool, and that's how we grow.
I'm just thinking about it. I have to go to McGovern's in Dunstable to pick up a cow later on today. And you're right down the road. I can go by and see what your place looks like. And
that'd be great.
Yeah. And what's really neat about this is the enthusiasm that comes from the younger folks, younger women, more and more younger women are getting into this, and the husbands are men. Does your husband work with you full-time on the farm?
He does.
Yeah.
He does. I am the boss, though, so people, everybody struggles with that. But
why?
I mean, you know, we just He's the man, and he has a beard, and he looks like what your image of a farmer would be. And, you know, we definitely excel in different areas on the farm. I'd say we have, like, a very divide and conquer, you know, which is, makes us an effective team, right? Like, we have the things we're good at. We check in at the beginning of the day, and then we go our own ways, and maybe we work together, but not even really anymore, because we can each be leading our own team effectively. And, you know, and so we're partners for sure, but like we decided that when it comes down to it, I get veto power just to sometimes make decision making easier.
Good for you. That's refreshing and kind of fun, in fact. Brittany Overshiner is here from Upswing Farm in Massachusetts. We're talking about how she is making it work with some good ideas. I want to know how you, as we continue here, how you decide on the prices for various things. What sort of skill do you need? Hold on, because we have to do a couple of things here. The American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. This is not about farming, but it's about food. 60 seconds on Eban's Bakehouse cookies and buns and breads and that sort of thing. So here we have a national focus. The farmer and the farm program helps people all across the country. This is a Midwestern based husband and wife started this together, kind of like the story we're telling with Brittany and her husband, but they have gotten to the point where they're not huge, but they're making a very important and very significant impact. They're having an impact on what's going on in the gluten-free world. And we all know you go into the supermarket, you go to small places and big places, and you see there's a section for gluten-free products. Well, these folks have mastered it. Chocolate chip cookies like you wouldn't believe. Peanut butter cookies, yummy. All the cookies are, the buns, the breads, the rolls, everything is completely gluten-free. And the taste is like you've never, ever experienced. One thing you got to do, you got to keep it refrigerated because there's no preservatives. It's all natural. It's cut right out of my playbook. And that's why I love these people as much as I do and love their products. All you have to do is go online to Eban, E-B-A-N-S, ebansbakehouse.com. Check it all out. When you decide to buy and have the stuff shipped to you, use the DJV code for a big discount. And remember, once you've gotten them and you eat them and you don't like them, you get your money back if you don't like them. But I don't know anybody who said that. Anytime I bring them to friends, relatives, they all love them. It's a great way to enjoy this wonder. I mean, let's face it, we all love cookies and we all like bread sandwiches, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, whatever. So get the best out of what you have to work with in the gluten-free department. That's Eban's Bakehouse. Check it out at ebansbakehouse.com. Calotren, C-A-L-O-T-R-E-N.
This is really an easy way to just rev up your metabolism and turn your body back into that fat-burning machine that it used to be. There's no drugs in it. There's no stimulants in it that make it work really quickly. But our 90-day program does have a huge 86% success rate. So when you give it time to work, you're going to see the results and you're going to feel better. And you're doing this safely with a product that is good for you. Even if you're on medications, even if you have health conditions, this product is really good for you. And if you have questions, we got a little chat on there. You can click the chat and then just ask us questions on there. You can also call us if you have questions too. Our number's toll free, 1-833-TOP-LOSS. We've got real live people right here in America to answer your questions. It's 1-833-TOP-LOSS. And again, the website is toploss.com. It's our buy three, get three free. So that's that proven 90-day supply. When you buy that 90 days, you get 90 days free.
Check it all out at toploss.com. At checkout, use the discount code DJV.
It's like I blinked and suddenly all my business shifted to e-commerce.
Now my business hours are whenever my customers need me.
My customers want everything now and faster than ever. It's a whole different world.
Your business is changing. The United States Postal Service is changing with it. We're bringing you fast, reliable shipping nationwide. And we're bringing it right when your customers need it. Let's discover new routes. Visit usps.com/new routes. The United States Postal Service. Priority, you.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models.
Brittany Overshiner with Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer Show for this week. She has, along with her husband, a group of folks working in the Pepperell, Mass., sort of central Massachusetts area. So how broad is the attraction of people? I'm thinking about what I know. There are other farms. Gary's down the street from you, but I don't think he's all, there's not an organic. There's lots of stuff in Littleton around. So how do you separate? How do you attract a group of solid, steady customers?
One thing is we carried a huge customer base with us from our last location, and we're still delivering to pickups down there. So we're kind of allowing that established market to carry the business while we build our market up here. Mm-hmm. So we have 40, we basically didn't market. We only closed in January, and we've built 7 greenhouses. We're building a wash and pack. Like, we're really focused on infrastructure right now, because we'd rather have it all in place before we start marketing. When we're, you know, I just don't want to not be really ready to do a big marketing push. But I think one of the things about local food that's a real benefit to people is the convenience of it, you know. So Littleton is still, you know, 15-minute drive, 20-minute drive to get to that kind of complex where there's all those farm stands that you're talking about. So there's a lot of people in Pepperell, and like every person who came to our seedling sale said, oh, I'm right up the road, I'm right up the road, I'm right up the road. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people who live right up the road from us. So I think we're really going to focus on building, you know, that sort of convenience.
Yeah.
But we also are certified organic, and people, there are some people who will travel a distance to get the product.
To do that. Oh, yeah. When I was selling raw milk, there were people coming for 40 miles in every direction because they're just not around. Okay. What about the pricing? How do you decide what to sell beets for, or what to sell a head of lettuce for, or whatever it is that you're, so how do you come up with the right price?
There's a couple of factors. One, I always walk the produce section in all the grocery stores because I just want to know what people are paying for, you know, if they're just shopping at the grocery store. I do believe that the product we're selling is superior, but I also feel like we can still at least match those prices. You know, not always. I can't match, like, the cheap, you know, 5-pound bags of carrots and potatoes.
No.
But that's a different product.
Nor should you. Nor should you try. It's how you sell it.
Yeah.
It makes it worthwhile. You shouldn't even try to do
but
it.
But I know, I agree. We also deal in what I believe is the human right. I think everybody should have access to fresh food that's grown really well. And so I personally struggle. I actually don't work the register of my own stand because I want people to have food affordably. And I make more money if I pay somebody $15 an hour to check people out for the right prices than
do it myself. Exactly.
That's a personal thing, you know.
It makes sense.
So I pay attention to those prices. I pay attention to the other farmers at farmers market. You referenced social media before. If somebody takes a picture of their market display, I'm like looking at the price signs and that, see what they're charging. And then the other thing I do is I try to pay attention to my expenses. It's really hard. You know, we grow over 60 varieties of vegetables, 400 feet of scallions 3 times a year.
One of the side problems that we're having, all of us, with some of the large global seed outfits, the controls in the hands of 4 or 5. So where are you finding the things that you need to be unique?
It was hard this year. You know, we get so used to the supply chain just working. You know, I've never... It's good to realize that we are still dependent on this global market, even though we are local producers. So my top seed companies that I use are High Mowing Seed in Vermont, Johnny Select Seed in Maine, and then Fedco Seed in Maine I usually use. But the combination of the seed shortage and all of the gardeners ordering more seeds than they usually did because, like, everybody started gardening during the pandemic, made it actually too hard to order from Fedco. I skipped that order this year, which was, you know, hard, but I couldn't figure out their process.
Johnny's is good in Maine. I like them.
They're really good, yeah.
All right, so upswingfarm.com for all the farmers who want to see what's going on this local Massachusetts farm. Check it out, upswingfarm.com. You've got a lot to be proud of, Brittany. I'm happy that we had the opportunity to meet. I am going to find you if I have time later on today when I go pick up that cow. I'm going to come by and check things out at Upswing Farm. Thanks for being here. Brittany Overshiner with Doug.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with a high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
The American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen here with a reminder about getting the American Family Farm podcast. We have hundreds of them based on the years of conversation we've been having with American family farmers just like you, talking about family and farm and food. Most recent American Family Farmer podcast is a focus. Actually, we talk about a Belgium farmer. He moved, we had a great story about, and I got some interesting response to this. He moved the stone which changed the boundary of his country. Then we talked about Bayer and the future of Roundup and all the glyphosate problems that we're having, the residential market and what that's doing to the price of food and where it can be grown. Certainly that's important. We had a conversation on the program with the new president of the National Farmers Union, Rob LaRue, getting some enlightening info. He came from a dairy farm background in West Virginia, and he's got a great background educationally. He's got that Washington twist on things, but it's good to know what they're doing to help the smaller family farmer especially. And then I talk about taxes and how people are going to lose their farms if the Biden tax bill. Do any of these politicians even get it? I guess that's my question. They don't seem to give a damn or understand what really is going on
and what sort of precarious positions, there aren't enough of them that come from the farm to appreciate. That certainly was true of the last go-round. You know, Trump didn't know anything about farming and didn't care, and the guy he had as the Secretary of Agriculture was a horror show. So anyway, I mean, I don't know. Vilsack is the new person in charge. He did it before under Obama. He was okay, but I wouldn't say he was a star. It'd be interesting to see how it shakes out this time around. One of the things people ask me all the time, my understanding of technology. There are a lot of innovative things going on. That was one of the things I was talking to the lady here about, how you promote. It certainly isn't going to be stuff for your grandparents didn't do this on the farm, for sure. Maybe your parents didn't even do it on the farm. But you have the technological know-how and the wonders that are around right now to promote your message. So let me go one step further. What are those of you who are looking to the future thinking about electric tractors? With all of the pollution, the environmental people are getting involved in farming and the renewable resources that may or may not be there. We hear it almost daily is all the yak about this. So a couple of companies have introduced electric tractors, and they may be available by December of next year, apparently. There's a California-based electric tractor company called Soltrac that's developed a battery-powered all-electric tractor. I've seen them. I just can't. I mean, first of all, I don't like new tractors to begin with. That's my thing. I just don't like new. I'll buy new equipment. I'm buying a new tedder, and I don't. But most tractors, I'm not interested in the new stuff because it's too complicated, too hard to work on, too expensive. And I think the manufacturers, because there are fewer of them, have become very arrogant. Having said that, then what about the electric tractor? What about the future? Where are we going to go with the needs that we have? And all, we have to, people will start coming to your farm. Take it from me. They'll start coming to the farm and they'll ask you, well, if you don't have an electric tractor now, when are you going to get them? My response would be, the old tractors are reliable. I can fix them. I don't have to have government interference in, whatever it is that is supposed to guide and guard the what comes out of the smokestack or the stack of the diesel-powered tractor. But then, you get down to brass tacks and you think about what it costs. Some of this stuff is so expensive. And youngsters like these people that we were just talking about, they don't have the money to buy a lot of new equipment. So we need to be able to understand what's best for us. Technology is great when it comes to social media. I'm all for it. I don't think you can survive without it, frankly. But as far as electric tractors, electric trucks, and things like that, I'm not a member of the old school, although I am seasoned, a veteran of lots of different wars, including, dealing with tech that doesn't advance the cause of farming. It advances the cause of big government and technology and big corporations. So think about that when you think about your attitude. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, why don't you buy an electric tractor? Maybe one of your customers. Think through the explanation as to why you don't want to do it and what is better about having the machinery that you have. It's a suggestion because I think the tech obviously is going to play a bigger part as we move into the future. That's my thought on it. I'm Doug Steffen. Entitled to My Thoughts as you're entitled to yours here on the American Family Farm.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.